The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. How much do you fear death? Do you fear the actual moment, or do you fear the entire process? Are you afraid that you have left something important undone? Are you unsure whether God has forgiven all of your sins? Or is there something else about death that you fear? Death is introduced early in the Bible when God tells Adam, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Death is not natural, but an intrusion on God's good creation. But for us, the descendants of Adam, death is a natural part of life. But we often avoid talking or thinking about it as if we could avoid its inevitability. But when we deny death, we also deny the new life we have been given. With Ezekiel's vision, we see breath and flesh returning to dried up bones. Those piles of bones represent despair. And an entire nation that has been exiled, and the people have lost faith in God, and they feel as if God has been defeated by all the small g gods of their captors. But this vision of despair becomes a vision of hope as the Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy. Prophesy to the bones, prophesy to the breath, and prophesy to the exiled people that the Lord is opening the graves of those who have died. The nation will be restored, and the people will return home. The Lord makes it clear that with God's Spirit, there is life. But it's not just those bones that will rise again. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, has died and has been in the tomb 4 days. It was believed that the soul left the body after 3 days, so for everyone involved, Lazarus was not only dead, but he was really dead. In fact, Martha is worried about the stench that will come from the tomb when it's opened. The hope of life for Lazarus is over. At least this is how it seems until Jesus looks to the heavens and calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Life has been restored. Hope has been restored. And the boundaries between death and life have been removed. But death has a place, and death is essential for forgiveness. Since the beginning of Lent, we have been studying the Small Catechism. We find ourselves today in the Lord's Prayer, praying for daily bread, forgiveness of sins, and deliverance from temptation and evil. Things we need each day for life. And we can speak this prayer over and over to the point that we forget the things for which we are asking. Luther writes, "Likewise, there is great need to pray for the bread we eat, for grain, cattle, and the like, and for all that we have, in order that we may know that all this comes to us from God. But we are always falling down, and hence we have a bad conscience. Therefore we pray, forgive us our trespasses." In these petitions are found all our anxieties, needs, and perils, which we ought to bring to God. They are great petitions indeed, but God, who wills to do great things, is greater. We pray in the Lord's Prayer that we may die to ourselves, so that we can be raised to new life in Christ Jesus. What does that really mean? Storyteller Brené Brown tells of a time when she was listening to a sermon on forgiveness. And she had spent years trying to figure out the essence of forgiveness. And she kept falling a little bit short, couldn't find those words that she needed to hear. But one statement by the preacher that day stood out to her the most. He said, "In order for forgiveness to happen, something has to die." He went on to tell of a couple. The husband had cheated on his wife. The husband couldn't let go of his guilt, and the wife couldn't let him forget that he was guilty. But they both wanted to stay together to somehow make their marriage work. The preacher who had counseled them told them that they had to grieve their relationship as it was, if there were going to be any hope of them having a relationship going forward. They had to let the relationship that they had die so that something new could be formed and come from it together. In order for forgiveness to happen, something has to die. They had to grieve what they once had if they had any hope of building something new again. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Our Christian life, our Christian faith is made of continual death and rebirth, confession and forgiveness of sins. It may seem so basic, and yet it confounds most of us. Ezekiel's vision of life returning to dried bones was the hope given to a people who were grieving in exile and would be given new birth upon their return home. Both Mary and Martha's grief-filled accusations towards Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," leads them both to new life in Christ. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Luther writes that when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Save us from the time of trial," or "Lead us not into temptation," we ask in this prayer that God would preserve and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins, and that although we may be attacked by them, we may finally prevail and gain the victory. We need to die. We need to die to sin. We need to die to self. Grieve what we have lost so that we can live fully in Christ, to follow fully where Christ is leading. We need to die daily, and we need to die faithfully, knowing that new life follows that death. New life follows in the forgiveness that we receive in Christ Jesus. Christ calls us out of our own tombs, and it is Christ who sets us free. Amen.